From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, September 26th. I'm Abby Larico. As the St. Louis Reparations Commission comes to an end, Black St. Louisans say they want repayment for decades of racial discrimination in education, healthcare, and housing, and they want it in cash.
The buildings are neglected and in disrepair, all a result of systematic racism.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with Black St. Louisans over the past year and a half about why they want reparations. That story is coming up on The Gateway. The Armory in Midtown St. Louis has closed indefinitely. This comes less than 2 years after the venue opened as the planned anchor for a renewed entertainment district. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, Armory leaders are looking for more financing to complete the still unfinished project.
St. Louis firm Green Street Real Estate Ventures planned to fill the historic building with office space. When that fell through, it re-envisioned the Armory as a $60 million entertainment complex, complete with rooftop beer garden and a roller rink. So far, only a portion of those plans have become reality. Jacob Miller runs the Armory on behalf of an affiliated company. He says building owner Green Street hasn't finished the project.
As a tenant, we agreed to pay this enormous amount of rent, but in exchange, the landlord was going to fund 100% of the tenant cost to open the whole building. And the landlord did not meet their funding obligations.
Green Street did not respond to requests for comment. Miller says it will take several months to find more financing and reopen. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
The task force of Illinois lawmakers and experts studying warehouse safety following the 2021 tornado that killed six Amazon employees has entered its final phase of work. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the group met for the final time Wednesday and will now focus on its report.
After six meetings, state lawmakers, representatives from various industries, and the Department of Labor have heard from experts and a family of an employee killed in the tornado. Before the task force issues recommendations, they want to hear from the public. Republican State Senator Erica Harris of Glen Carbon says that will be essential.
If you have an opinion to share, please do it, because those will all be looked at and sorted through and will only help us make better decisions.
So far, experts have recommended improving structural requirements to warehouses, like mandating storm shelters or putting warehouses into higher construction standards like schools. The group will also consider improving disaster plans. The final report is due by the start of next year. In Edwardsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Planned Parenthood of Illinois' political arm is launching a campaign next month targeting Project 2025. That's a policy blueprint from the conservative think tank Heritage Foundation, which, among other things, calls for stricter controls on access to abortion and contraceptives. Rhianne Hawkins is the director of policy at Planned Parenthood Illinois Action.
The elements of Project 2025 get implemented, it'll directly undermine the wishes of Illinois voters in keeping Illinois as a haven state for reproductive rights.
The group will send roughly 10 staff members to go door knocking in areas throughout the state, including the Chicagoland area, Bloomington, and Carbondale. With tensions running high during this political campaign season, election officers say they must stay vigilant. Illinois Board of Elections spokesperson Matt Dietrich says the state's voting systems are trustworthy, but cyber attacks and disinformation campaigns can still undermine voter confidence in the system.
If people are not confident that their voter data is being held securely, then they're not going to register to vote. And they're not going to vote. They're not going to take part in the system.
He says bad actors have grown more sophisticated over time, but that federal authorities have improved their responses to address the problem. Dietrich made his comments at a League of Women Voters event days after the Illinois State Board of Elections office in Springfield was evacuated because of a suspicious package. Last Friday, an envelope was mailed to the office with a return address of USTEA, which stands for U.S. Traitor Elimination Army. Several states have received similar packages, and some have contained an unknown substance. Supporters of a ballot item raising Missouri's minimum wage say the measure will help the state's working poor. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from author Heather McGee's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Proposition A would gradually raise Missouri's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2026. It would also require businesses to offer employees 1 hour of paid sick time for every 30 hours worked. Heather McGee is a New York Times bestselling author and a backer of Proposition A. She says a minimum wage boost will be a big boon to the working poor.
You know, I think the impression was that minimum wage workers were, you know, teenagers just getting an extra job on the side. But these are parents with families. These are people who often have got at least some college under their belt.
Missourians will vote on Proposition A on November 5th. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A multi-million dollar housing development in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood is helping to bring more density and affordable housing to North St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the Hebert Homes Project has completed dozens of homes since officially launching in April last year.
The project has already rehabilitated 10 homes and constructed 8 new ones, with several under contract or sold. Many of the homes are earmarked for families making less than 80% of the area median income, about $82,000 for a family of four. Pastor Andre Alexander is the president of Tabernacle Community Development Corporation and says there is considerable momentum behind the project.
You're seeing this transformation physically that really represents neighborhood transformation at its core, meaning bringing back physical value.
Alexander says the project adds density and housing that hasn't come to North City for decades. He says it will complement forthcoming developments in this part of the city, like the Brickline Greenway. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Reparations Commission is coming to an end. Members will present a draft of its harm report on Monday. Over the past year and a half, St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson has reported on the commission's work, and residents call for cash payouts as restitution for years of racism.
My name is Antoine Donaldson. I want to address the idea of using zero interest loans, housing programs, increased access to health care, and free college as forms of reparations for the historical injustices faced by Black Americans.
My name is Anthony Johnson, and I reside from the Academy Sherman Park neighborhood. We need direct cash payments into our bank accounts for the whole family. I'm demanding $500,000 a person.
Small and large crowds of Black people attended 13 monthly in-person or virtual St. Louis Reparations Commission meetings since April 2023. In total, 109 residents testified about generations of housing, employment, and education injustice in St. Louis. Lifelong Black St. Louisans who have lived through segregation and redlining are demanding monetary payouts to help remedy the lifetime effects of racism. The 8-member commission will present its 100-page harm report to residents on September 30th at its final meeting. The draft report will include personal narratives, the history of housing injustice, the impact of police brutality, and environmental harms. The commission plans to get feedback from the community and present its final report and recommendations for repayment to St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones the first week of October.
Okay, so this is Academy.
Realtor Rhonda Jones testified at a commission meeting last year about housing disparities. One afternoon, Jones drove me and her cat Winston around her Academy Sherman Park neighborhood and other parts of North St. Louis.
This neighborhood has been a part of my family for 70 years. And it is a wonderful, thriving neighborhood with a very close-knit community.
Most of the Victorian-style homes on her block are in pretty good shape for being 100 years old or older, and many of them are renovated on the inside. Unfortunately, homes and former businesses on other streets in the area were not so fortunate.
The buildings are neglected and in disrepair, all a result of systematic racism.
North St. Louis has the highest vacancy rates in the city. Rhonda's neighborhood is in the top 20 for vacancies. White residents in St. Louis are nearly twice as likely to own homes as Black residents. Rhonda hopes the commission's harm report will lead to housing payments that could help repair homes and pay down tax bills so Black people can leave their properties to family.
The vultures, investors come in and purchase property for $20,000 or $30,000 and take all of the equity that they could from the family.
Willard Lett is the co-chair of National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America. He says people have been injured by racism in different ways.
We have to match the remedy to the injury, and that's what's required in these various municipalities.
Duke University's William Darity studies reparations. He says the goal is to close the racial wealth gap, and to do so, the federal government is responsible for making direct cash payments.
And that would require an expenditure of somewhere in the vicinity of $16 trillion. The total budgets for all states and municipalities in the United States comes to less than $5 trillion. So whatever they do is going to fall short.
St. Louis's median Black household income is about $33,000, while the median white income is about $77,000. Black St. Louisans hope to see this wealth gap close in their lifetime through policies that come from months of testimonies and data collected in the reparations harm report. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.